You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts in the Morning with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday. Happy Championship Game Day. We are the Roto Experts in the Morning. I'm Mike Blewett along with George Kurtz here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So, big day today, obviously, for all football fans. I always feel, George, like the divisional playoff weekend and the NFC-AFC Championship weekend is really what we wait all season for as football fans. As fantasy fans, you know, our time is running out. We got some playoff formats that I'm still involved in. I'm sure you are as well. We're going to get into that today because we didn't do much of it yesterday. Not a lot of games going on these days, so we got to fill our time the way we fill our time. So I'm excited, obviously, as a Steelers fan, but even if they weren't playing, I'd be pretty fired up for these games today. How about you?
It's a little of both. Definitely fired up. You know, like you mentioned, championship weekend. It's fun. Going to be good. I expect two good games somewhat, but it's also a little depressing because it's only three games left, Mike.
That's right.
And now you got to wait 2 weeks after this game.
Yeah.
You know, for all intents and purposes, it's done. It's just about over. So it's it's 7 months without football coming up.
Yeah, Super Bowl Sunday is always a bittersweet situation. Now, if the Steelers happen to be lucky to be in it, I'll be fired up right to the end of it. But it is always that bittersweet moment. It really is once you get past those divisional games that it hits home. And you're like, wow, we're done. Like, this is it. There's no more analysis to do. Except for the Super Bowl, which is talked ad nauseum for a couple of weeks. But we will get into your playoff formats today. Feel free to hit us up today. A lot of people still doing DFS. This is really your last DFS day if you want to get involved with football. So we can help a little bit there and clearly any playoff questions that you may have. So we talked about it a lot yesterday. Our predictions are already on record. George has the Pats 27-23. I have the Steelers 27-24. So we're right around that Vegas total. And we both have the Steelers covering. I actually have the Steelers winning outright. I think I have some pressure there. One, I'm a Steelers fan, but two, I picked them in August, so I'm not going to back away from it now. Now, so to talk a little bit about that game, and obviously in subsequent segments, we will get into the particulars as to who we think will have a big game, but we'll recap a little bit of what we talked about yesterday. You think the Steelers have a real shot here, but you're leaning the Pats because of home field advantage, Tom Brady. What are the exact reasons?
Sure. Home field, Brady, Belichick. I mean, listen, it's hard to bet against them. Yeah. There's a reason they're here every year, it seems like. I mean, it's just ridiculous how well coached this team is, how good they are. So it's hard to bet against them. Steelers done a great job. Yeah, it's just, what, can they win another game? You know, KC.
Nine in a row right now.
Nine, yeah. It's sooner or later, that's got to come to an end, right? Yeah. Same thing with Aaron Rodgers. Sooner or later, that's got to come to an end.
Yeah, the Pats and Packers both have eight-game winning streaks, and the Falcons as well, and the Steelers have a nine-game winning streak. So you can't argue that any team is hotter than the other.
It's absolutely wild. You know, it's funny. My brother, speaking of betting in Vegas, my brother found a bet. 3-1 odds that the Super Bowl will be anything but New England, Atlanta.
That's a good bet. That's good value.
That's what I told him.
That's a great value bet.
He could have put 100 down. Could cost him 300, obviously, if he loses. Yeah. But listen, I think there's a decent shot Pittsburgh beats New England today, maybe 35-40%. Yeah. I don't see Green Bay beating Atlanta, but still, it gives you a couple of opportunities there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not so bad. You're always looking for value there. I was listening to a podcast the other day. It's sort of a Vegas-type podcast where they're going through lines and breaking those down and everything, and they were walking through a lot of how professionals will try to play both sides of it and trying to get a value bet in so that they are limiting as much risk as possible, hedging the whole way through, but trying to find a maximized way to at least gain some percentage of return. You know, in Vegas, and for the professionals, it's not about hitting it big. It'd be nice when they do that, but it's really about them just hedging all the way and trying to gain the best odds possible and trying to gain some modicum of return. Frankly, in a similar way to how DFS pros are doing it, right? They're just trying to find as much return as possible. Doesn't mean that Drew Dinkmeyer, he did win the $1 million contest a couple of years ago. It doesn't mean that he's a good pro because he won that, right? He's getting return every week on his investments, so to speak. So one question I did want to ask you, I didn't really ask you yesterday. I always wonder this because listen, the media talks about it to no end. But do you think that the Steelers feel intimidated slash an extra amount of pressure because of the success that Brady has had against Tomlin or had against Roethlisberger, et cetera, because they haven't been able to go to New England and knock them off?
Well, have they really had success against Tomlin? He's not really making game plans.
True. It'd
be more against the coordinators that you've had success against, right? So I don't know if that's the case. I don't know if they're worried about that. It's not like the Steelers are an organization that's never been here.
Right.
You know, so I don't know if they're, if any of that really matters. See, I think both organizations are veterans when it comes to Super Bowls, veterans when it comes to pressure, and veterans to all of this. So I'm really, really not concerned about any of that.
Right.
So I think it'll be okay. I think it comes down to, once again, we know what New England's going to try and do. There's no, you know, oh my God, we don't know what the game plan is going to be. It's going to be a short passing game in general. You know, can you stop that? If you can, then you put Tom Brady in an uncomfortable position somewhat. Mm-hmm. You know, Hogan's banged up. Mitchell's banged up. So the deep passing game may
Mitchell
not be there.
Mitchell didn't even play last week.
Right. And I was going to say Green. Bennett stays in the block quite a lot now because that offensive line is average at best, and they want to protect Brady. So if you could stop the short passing game, you can make things interesting. The problem is with Edelman, Deion Lewis, James White, that short passing game is pretty good.
Yeah, the Deion Lewis thing, I was waiting all year to see when it was going to come around. You saw glimpses of it, and obviously explodes last week, including the special teams play. But really, I've been waiting for that to come around. I was just waiting for the Deion Lewis shoe to drop. Yeah, certainly. And
you know, clearly, right now.
Yeah, clearly he's another factor in how the Steelers are going to have to defend. So, yeah, you know, I've been wondering about that. Like, I don't know that Roethlisberger feels any more pressure. I'm sort of throw that out. A lot of people get focused on that, but what's he going to do? He's going for the Super Bowl. Like, the Steelers have pretty much said it. We're playing for the Super Bowl. There's no secrets anymore. And to your point, we know what they're going to do. I remember Herm Edwards saying once, there's no secrets in the NFL.
No.
Everybody's game planning for years and years and years against each other. They work with each other in various spots. There's no secrets. Like, a trick play isn't really a secret. It's just timing.
Right.
I mean, it's just the timing of the calls, obviously, and execution. And when it comes down to it, the Pats execute better than other teams. They always have. It's where Belichick's genius is. So we will obviously continue to talk about that, who we expect to have big games and who we may want to fade in a particular contest or beyond that. And moving over to the other game, Falcons and Packers, we went through it yesterday. My prediction currently, Falcons 37-27. I'm picking against Aaron Rodgers for the third time in a row in these playoffs. And George has the Falcons 41-35. Obviously, we expect a lot of points to be scored. At George,
ka-ching!
George really wanted to go 48-35, but at the last second, as he was spitting out the score, I think he backed off of it because he acknowledges 48 is a crazy number.
It's a crazy number. 41 is a crazy number. I think points can be put on the board. Yeah, I just got a question in the Roto Experts email answer queue about one and done leagues.
Yeah.
And the guy wants to save all, he hasn't used any of his Patriots. He wants to save all his Patriots for next week. Risky.
Yeah,
because I don't see this as an easy game. You know, oh, New England's going to win, it's no problem. You know, like last week, we knew, you know, New England's going to beat Houston. Pittsburgh, I think they win the game. But like I said, it's in that 60-40 range, so I probably wouldn't do that, but I get it. But my advice to was simple. Well, you better load up on Atlanta-Green Bay game. All right, because it's cha-ching all over the place there. I see points being scored. I mean,
the problem with this guy is he's saving his pass, but he's probably used Bell and Brown already.
Yes. Correct. He is Bell, risky. Brown, I think Jared Cook, Devontae Adams. You can't use Jordy today.
No.
I would use Cobb. I'll go Cobb. I told him, three wide receivers start. I'll go Allison as well.
Yeah, like I haven't used Cobb in either of my formats, and he's like a must for me today.
Yeah.
I have to put him out there. Yeah.
You got to use your Green Bay players because I don't think they win.
I used Adams last week.
I would have also.
I didn't use Ty Montgomery. I've used Aaron Rodgers already. So,
would you double up on the Falcons running backs? Use both of you picking and choose and save one for next week.
I'll have to go through my one tournament, but I definitely used Deion Lewis last week in both DFS and my one and done because I liked that matchup. The special teams touchdown, you know, that's a fluky situation, but I get credit for it. So I used the Pats defense. Like, there's a few things that I'm going to have to shade towards the NFC. Like, I have to save Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger, for example. So I have to play Matt Ryan today. Like, I have no options.
Oh, poor baby. Do you?
Yeah, I'm just saying. Like, I don't have... I can't save him for the Super Bowl. But I like him today anyway, right?
All right, he's going to score 1,000 points today.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad I shaded towards the NFC. I think in my previous 2 weeks, I used Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. So here I sit with Matt Ryan, going to save the AFC quarterback for the Super Bowl.
You have to use Matt Ryan. Yeah, like, no, it's a poor bad me. Thing.
Poor me. But and a lot of people are in similar scenarios where they have to use Ty Montgomery or they have to use somebody else. So we'll get through it. I think saving your Pats is as risky as it sounds. Now, sometimes doing something like that can win you the tournament, right?
Absolutely.
So you're going to take an appropriate amount of risk to potentially win the whole thing.
It's risk-reward.
Yeah.
I get it. I think he's also, if I remember correctly, he was in 18th place and top nine get paid. So he's got some maybe he needs to take some chances.
Yeah. So maybe those are the chances you take. And then the logic would play out that they're going to play against a defense that nobody's particularly scared of, right? If Green Bay pulls off the win, then Tom Brady might have 500 yards passing. If Atlanta pulls off the win, are you really scared of Vic Beasley to the point that, you know, we'll see how they do today, right?
Vic Beasley's a really, really good player, but there's just not enough around him. And once again, we know what Belichick will do. He'll stop Beasley and force someone else.
Yeah, like Dwight Freeney plays 20 snaps, so it's, you know, he's still getting it done, a la James Harrison, but Harrison even plays more snaps than Freeney.
Is he getting it done? You've worked with Sincata too much.
It's true. That's the Tony Sincata tagline. Dwight Freeney.
His nickname.
Absolutely.
Tony getting it done, Sincata.
Absolutely getting it done. So, yeah, so we'll talk about those different strategies, and feel free to hit us up. And answer queue, Twitter, George is at George Kurtz. I'm at Mike Blewett, but hit us up at FNTSY Radio on Twitter, and we'll answer all of these questions. I get various texts and messengers and throughout the week, so I'm happy to answer those now and moving forward. So you do expect a lot of points to be done. You asked about the doubling up of the Atlanta running backs. Like in DFS, I would consider that.
Well, in his situation, I think he had to start two.
If he's saving all
two
the
running
packs.
Backs, not going to stats or to use Bell.
So if he's saving the Pats, he can just use Deion Lewis and LeGarrette Blount in the Super Bowl, and he's fine.
But what do you do this week?
If Ty Montgomery is available, for example,
I went Ty and Freeman. But I told him if you want to double up, doesn't bother me at all.
So basically, I would rank Freeman first of those two. So is my second running back Ty Montgomery, or is it Tevin Coleman?
For me, it's Coleman.
I think it's Coleman, too. So you may want to hedge just based on a strategy perspective. But if I'm going, you know, balls to the wall on this call for him and he's risking it with the Pats, why not just go with the guys that were ranking first and second, and that's Freeman and Coleman. Coleman's so good in the passing game. George and I talked about it a little bit yesterday. Both guys are so versatile in the passing game that you don't really risk anything by putting Tevin Coleman in there. Yeah, there's less touches, but they get him in so much space, and he's so good catching the ball that, I mean, they found a hell of a duo there in Atlanta. I had my doubts about Devonta Freeman 2 years ago. He's squashed all of those. And Tevin Coleman, I didn't really get a chance to see him much until this year. I really liked him. I drafted him in a couple of teams, and he helped me out a lot. But even what he did this year surprised me. So that's the way I would go. I would actually sit Ty Montgomery. I think the fact that he got two touchdowns out of him last week was a little bit fluky. They could have gone to any number of players there. They do a good job spreading it around. What stat did I hear about Matt Ryan this year? He threw passes to 13 different players this year.
That came out Friday.
And 9 different players have caught touchdowns, something like that.
No, I guess 13 different players have caught touchdowns.
13 players have caught touchdowns.
Yes,
right. That's right. Because you got all the tight ends that have gotten hurt: Tammy and Toilolo and Hooper. And then
that's generally what that means. You've had injuries where guys keep playing.
Yeah, exactly right.
It's really not a good thing.
It's not a good thing for the team, but it's a good thing for Matt Ryan. So Kyle Shanahan getting a head coaching job because of that versatility, their ability to spread the ball around. So we're going to go deep into this. We'll talk about some other things. George saw Star Wars yesterday, the Rogue One movie, so I want to hear a little bit about that. We're going to talk a lot of different stuff for the next 3 hours. We'll try to get into some draft stuff a little bit. I was listening to a little bit of podcasts and read some articles on that this week, so I think that's something to consider now that college football has kind of turned the page into their postseason efforts. East-West Shrine game yesterday was a barn burner, 10-3, so we will talk a little bit about some players that we can see going to become making a fantasy impact for next season. So it's Mike and George for the next 3 hours on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Welcome back. Mike Blewett and George Kurtz here for the next 3 hours on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Go through the games, go through all the lineups, go through all your opportunities to make some DFS cash and any other kind of cash that you have on the line or just pride on the line this postseason. So a couple of pieces of news obviously came out yesterday regarding the NFL. First, I think the biggest piece of news is the Colts relieving GM Ryan Grigson of his duties, something that was rumored to potentially be happening and something that is surprising that it didn't happen sooner. So not exactly a timely move by the Colts with other candidates having moved around. And you just wonder if like Chuck Pagano seems like he's safe. I don't think they'll make both moves at this point. It would be a little crazy to do that because they've limited their own coaching pool. So some thoughts as to why this happened. Why do you think it happened now?
Well, I think it's probably correct. I mean, when you have a franchise quarterback with, and listen, Luck, you and I discussed it yesterday, Luck fell into your lap. Mm-hmm. You got really lucky. You know, Peyton gets hurt, and you have the worst record in the league. Yeah. So you got a franchise quarterback. You don't miss a beat there. Yeah. Good for you. So I like you got to build around him, and they haven't done that. And you, I understand most teams in the NFL have you can't in salary cap area. You can't have it great everywhere. I get that, but haven't the Colts had the same problem now for what seems like forever? Offensive line's atrocious. Gets Luck killed. Mm-hmm. The defense is bad. He hasn't fortified either one. He doesn't really have a running game to go with that. He went bananas with the wide receivers. And I get it. You want to get Luck as many weapons as possible.
The Philip Dorsett pick is indefensible to me.
Never liked that. Never really liked that at all. So,
I hated it the day.
So did I.
The minute they made the pick, it didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, so do I. I think the Cowboys and some of the Raiders are showing you what you have to do. Mm-hmm. You have to build for the offensive line. You got to get those guys. Got to get the pillars there, and that really is where your team can take off from there. You can build a running game. You protect your quarterback. You can control the game. You can control your defense, no matter how bad it is, if that offensive line is killing it with time of possession. So I think that's what a lot of teams are going to do. Indianapolis didn't do that. So I think Grigson deserved to go. I'm surprised it was this late.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. That's really it's shocking to me.
Which makes you wonder what happened here. But then again, it's Ursay.
The owner's totally. The owner. That's the thing. It doesn't surprise me. It's just a ridiculously untimely move. You haven't been evaluating for the 17 weeks of the regular season and taking a really hard look in the subsequent week or two after the season to make this decision. The season ended for them. The season ended more than a month ago.
Yeah, it's strange timing. What we see with all the NFL, it's pretty much Black Monday, the Monday after the week 17 of the regular season. In this case, he waited 3 more weeks.
Yeah, and plus they were eliminated from the playoffs before that.
Which makes you wonder what happened here. Did something happen? Did he have a meeting? Didn't go well? Gone. Because remember, Ursay said he wasn't talking to anybody. And the staff didn't really know what was going on immediately after.
That's right.
On vacation?
That's why this isn't a total surprise, because neither guy, and I talk about their head coach Chuck Pagano and GM Ryan Grigson, was given a positive reinforcement in any way. They weren't given a sign off on their job. They weren't told they were safe. They weren't told they were fired, but there was literally no discussion. So they had to just keep going to work every day, not knowing whether or not they're going to be working there. Now, we know about this power struggle that happened in the past. The GM and the coach weren't getting along. It looked like it was all going to break up a year ago, and it didn't happen. I thought that was a mistake last year when it was already known. It's out there in the ether that it's dysfunctional, that Grigson and Pagano don't get along, and it wasn't totally clear if Ursay liked either of them in the positions. And now here we sit a year later, and they've got rid of one guy.
Well, I also wonder, and we heard the rumors that he was trying to get Peyton. And maybe this is what it took so long. Maybe it took weeks to get an answer from Peyton.
Yeah, Peyton Manning is not a candidate for the GM position.
He declined it, but then again, he still fired Grigson anyway. Strange how this whole thing's been gone about. It does wonder, who's he going to bring in? You imagine, this is strange. A lot of guys are already gone, got jobs. You're going to try and take somebody from another organization.
Listen, any assistant GM that's going to have an opportunity to step up will obviously interview, right?
I would.
So, in that sense, they've lost a couple of candidates. But I'm trying to think of the GM moves that were made. The 49ers haven't hired one yet.
Correct.
The Jaguars kept theirs. The Chargers kept theirs. The Bills kept theirs in a disastrous press conference. Doug Whaley, who doesn't appear to have all the decision-making capabilities, but he's technically the GM. So I don't really know how many GMs have moved around. In that sense, maybe that pool isn't as depleted as we anticipated. And who knows? Maybe that was a factor because Irsay saw that, you know what? Six GMs didn't get scooped up. Only one did. And we're going to move forward with our search. So I've seen some people heavily criticize Chuck Pagano's coaching style, coaching ability, and I get it. But for a team as disastrous as they are, I guess the division plays into it to some extent, George, but they did go 8-8.
They were actually, you know, it's funny when I heard they were 8-8 later.
They've been
surprised.
Quote unquote horrible for 2 years, but one, they lost their quarterback, and now they went 8-8.
It was a surprise that when you realized that, wow, they were a 500 team.
I had them under 9.5 this year, and it wasn't as comfortable as it should have been. It looked like it was going to happen for a long time, but ultimately, for them to pull off 8 wins with that crappy defense and an offensive line that can't block, and Frank Gore had 1,000 yards, so
that's the biggest shock.
I mean, we pick on the offensive line a lot because it can't keep Luck healthy, and his Luck hold the ball too long, and you can come up with a billion different factors as to why that's happening, but they went 8-8 in a division where the team that won was 9-7. Houston and Tennessee, are they that far in front of the Colts?
No, they're really not. I mean, the division's worse than football. We know that. They all have flaws. I mean, you go Houston, they need a quarterback. Obviously, we talked about Indianapolis. Tennessee is probably the best all-around team. You know, maybe if Mariota stays healthy, maybe that gets interesting. But they were getting blown out in that one game anyway. He got hurt. So that was going to cost him the playoffs.
If Houston got one ass-kicker offensive lineman, though, and Lamar Miller ramped it up, and Osweiler had to just do less.
Osweiler's an average quarterback.
He can't
average.
Do less. I mean, he can't do less than he did. But
if he sucked just a little less.
Like, what if it was just a little bit more like the Chiefs and what they ask Alex Smith to do? Like, if they could do that. Granted, they don't have the depth of dynamic playmakers that the Chiefs currently have, but you know, are they that far off? I mean, I think Houston being 9-7 is a disappointment to them. They won the division, they made the playoffs, and they got blown out by the Pats, but I think 9-7 to them was a disappointment. They lost J.J. Watt. The quarterback played like hell for the entirety of the year. So to some extent, I would still side with Houston and maybe having the better roster, but Tennessee's not far behind, and who knows? Maybe the Colts really aren't that far behind.
I don't think they are.
Their defense was terrible, but they did draft a bunch of young players, and we'll see how those guys pan out. They're going to have to develop them. So in that sense,
I wonder if Irsay thinks one good offseason we're back here.
I think he thinks that.
And I can't blame him for that.
Right.
Because I think right now, as it stands, it's true. The problem is you can say the same thing for the other two teams.
Yeah.
One good offseason from Houston, if Houston finds a quarterback.
Yeah, could the quarterback play any worse than you have you win a division than what happened with Osweiler this year?
No.
It's not possible.
No.
I mean, I've never seen a team get such bad quarterback play and just breathing down 10 wins and win a playoff game.
But isn't that why Houston's interesting as far as someone like a Tony Romo is concerned? Because
yeah, but what are they really just going to bench him now?
That's the problem. It wouldn't be fair. As much as Osweiler bombed this year, it's not fair to give him 1 year. You bomb, you're done.
Yeah, like other guys that are out there just stinking up the joint for longer than he has in Houston in a new team with a new playbook and a new coaching staff and the whole thing. I mean, Blake Bortles, the fantasy magician, hasn't exactly lit it up for the last couple of years.
Still better than Osweiler.
I agree with that, but there's been other guys, to my point, there's been other guys that have played average to below average and have still stuck it out there for a bit. You know, other guys have been given a pretty long leash. All played better than him, but you have guys like Tannehill that people are constantly questioning, people like Dalton that people are constantly questioning, people like Alex Smith they're constantly questioning. They got longer leashes. So I would give Osweiler another shot. Would I make it an open competition in camp? Yeah, but I think Brock's the leader in the clubhouse. And if you bring in
him and who? Savage?
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. I mean,
the thing is, I think Houston has to know right now.
Would you bring in Romo, though? Would that blow up the whole thing? Or you just say, be damned with everybody's ego? You can't even pay them, though. You can't pay Romo and Osweiler.
Well, that's the problem with Houston and Casey. Houston and Casey are in the same situation. Mm-hmm. You're probably a quarterback short from really, really being able to say you're gonna do some damage.
Yeah.
Right. The defense is there. You have the running back. He's not great, but you have a good running back. Wide receivers are there. You got a good tight end. What are you missing? And that's what's amazing about today's NFL. You can have great every place else, but if you don't have a quarterback, you're not going to win.
Yeah,
you're just not. This is not the 2000 Ravens here where you can win with Trent Dilfer.
Mm-hmm.
Just not going to happen.
Yeah.
So I could see it. I think Houston has to think. And I don't think they're going to do it, but I think they have to think to themselves, well, you know, we can give another year to Osweiler, but Romo's not going to be out there next year.
Yeah.
You know, what are the odds of another quarterback of his stature being available next season? Now, it could come down. I mean, what do the Cowboys want for Romo? Does Romo want to go to Houston? You know, I think with Jerry Jones, I think he's going to be very kind to Romo. I don't think Jones is looking for the best return. I think he's looking at a good return and to make Romo happy because they get along very well. So I would think Houston. I think Romo would want to go to Houston. Stays in Texas. Good team.
I just didn't even know if they're going to, because of the money associated with it.
That's the problem.
I don't know that they're even going to get a deal. I think this could be what happened with Manning, where Manning was technically a free agent. It was just sort of predetermined that Denver was going to be the landing spot in many ways.
If you look, as far as the Cowboys are concerned, they have many different choices here. One of them is, if they just release Romo, if they can make him a post-June cut, that works out very well. Save a lot of money on the cap. Obviously, yeah. You get no return.
Yeah.
You know, so what's more important to Jerry?
So that's the thing. So they need to make the money work, and that's why Romo ultimately becomes that cap casualty, so to speak.
And Romo could also restructure his contract to make things happier for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, he could also, there's some rumors around it, he will retire. That's going around as well.
Honestly, if you're close to him.
If I'm his wife,
yeah,
I want you to retire.
That's it.
I mean,
two back surgeries.
Three broken collarbones. He has two boys now, two young boys.
It's really easy for anybody sitting in front of a microphone yapping their mouth like we are to be like, dude, you got plenty of money. He's like, yeah, but I haven't won anything.
It's not that.
I want to give it one more shot.
I don't think the winning anything has much to do with anything.
You don't want to go out like that.
I don't even think it's that. Professional athlete, what do they want to do? They want to play. They want to play.
Yeah.
And I think he normally knows if he can stay healthy, it's a huge if, capital letters. He'll put up.
Coaches coach and players play, right? That's how it goes. I think he wants to really just want to. He wants to get out there one more time. I think George's point is spot on. It's not really about one last shot at a ring, because if he ends up in Chicago, like, it's not happening. So, which is a landing spot for him potentially, right? There's going to be a vacuum.
Scott,
there.
Jake, and I went over about 8 to 10 teams where you could make an argument for,
yeah.
And half of them are.
Reaches.
You know, I mean, he took a San Fran, Chicago, Cleveland. Sure, they all need quarterbacks, but he's not winning anything there.
Right.
You know, I don't care how good he is or how bad he is. You're certainly not going to win a Super Bowl next year. Yeah. Probably not making the playoffs next year.
And Denver's possibly being coy about this, but they've kind of closed the book on it. I think they're going to develop the young guys, like you said yesterday.
Yeah, I don't care what anybody says. I made the joke yesterday, but it's a very true joke. You're not going to see any GM come out and say, oh, yeah, we want Romo, because the price just went up. They're all going to say, no, we don't want him, not interested. Of course, that's what they
especially
say.
Because of what the Vikings did last year in the emergency situation. They drove the price up of any quarterback trades. It's why you hear the rumors persisting about Jimmy Garoppolo and a 1 and a 4, which is insane. But, of course, they should ask for that. The Pats are obligated to ask for that.
Ask for the moon?
That's right.
You ask for the stars, you settle for the moon.
That's right. Exactly right. You ask for everything that you could possibly get, and then after you negotiate,
Mike Glennon will be in this conversation as well.
No doubt.
And it'll come down to what do teams want. You know, do you want to give up less and get Romo, a more established quarterback, which you know what you're going to get? Do you want to pay more for the younger guy you have control of longer? Probably got to sign to a big contract, though. That's a problem.
Yeah.
But you have no idea what they're going to do in a story. I'm shocked that Mike Glennon's getting all this love. A guy we've seen nothing from.
Do you feel like we've seen more from him than we saw from Brock Osweiler, though, technically?
Not really. It's been years.
I know. But he played
more.
Throw that
out. Forget about it. Years ago. It means nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Glennon play a lot in college. I'm not surprised.
That means nothing.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't mean anything anymore. And I thought there was something there, but...
I think there might be something there, but the
5 years, 5 years hence from the start of your NFL career and you don't have a starting job, something's up, right?
But isn't that also, once again, tell you the state of the NFL, that some team's going to pay this?
I know.
I mean, pay as in draft picks. Obviously, yeah. He's going to get paid, and cash.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to get paid, I imagine, somewhere in the $14 to $18 million range.
I think the reason for it, and we'll get into it a little bit later, actually, maybe even do the next segment, this draft class for quarterbacks is brutal.
It's not good. No.
So I think that's why people are going to be much more willing to go after a veteran than, say, try to develop Mitch Trubisky or Deshaun Watson or whomever. So we started with Ryan Grigson. We keep going around the NFL, talk about a couple other things, talk a little bit about the draft in the next segment. George and Mike, all the way till 10 o'clock. Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Talking about, just to wrap up the Ryan Grigson thing, here's the quote from Jim Irsay to show you what kind of a sign-off Chuck Pagano got. First of all, on Grigson, who had 3 more years left on his contract, it was gut, intuitive instinct from looking at where we were and where we are as a franchise. I think we needed to make a change, I felt. Intuitively, you get the feeling when the timing's right where a change will help, and whereas continuity is something that I really want and long to have as much as we can have it. But in this case, I really felt the time is right to make a change. We needed some new direction just in the vision of our football program. That's from talking to a lot of people and giving it a lot of thought. First of all, you should write down your responses. Don't ramble like he did. He's an owner of an NFL team. That's one. And two, on his, there's regarding Chuck Pagano's future, he's our coach for 2017.
Yeah, it's pretty much you get the job done here. Oh, you're done.
Yeah.
I think we
that's
know
a playoff
that.
Or bust. That's a playoff
that's most
or bust.
Coaches.
Yeah.
You know, most coaches who've been in the job for a couple of years, that's most coaches. So I don't think that's a terrible statement.
Yeah.
Listen, there was some thought that Pagano might not make it this year. He did. So he gets another chance. So I said, I don't mind that really at all, what he said. Irsay is he's out there. He's probably one of the top 5 more boisterous owners. You know, out there with Jerry Jones, Dan Snyder. And there's a problem with these guys, you know. You and I were talking about it before. You know, players play, coaches coach, GM's GM. Owners should really stay out of it. Owners own.
Yeah.
You don't need to get involved. Because generally, you're going to say things that are dumb. You know, Jerry Jones tries to cover it. Well, I say this on purpose so that, you know, I get the conversation started. Maybe he does sometimes. I can sort of buy that with Jerry. I think he will. Any publicity is good publicity for him.
Yeah.
But overall, keep your mouth shut.
What's funny when you say that, Jerry's obviously heavily involved, and it's like a family organization, right? But when I look back at, if you've ever seen it, the football life on Bill Belichick, it's like a two-parter. It's great because he's forthcoming in it, and they go deep into his background and why he is motivated to coach, and his dad was a coach, etc. But there's a couple of scenes where Bob Kraft, like they have a camera in Belichick's office, and he's just kind of slumped down looking at the computer, looking at film or whatever. And it was Bob Kraft comes in to talk to him about something, and like he's the owner. But the dynamic in the room when he walks up and Belichick is behind the desk is funny because Kraft sort of shuffles in and sits down and he wants to talk to him about something. And Belichick is, in a Belichickian way, just kind of irritated about it. And he doesn't really want to talk.
Not surprised.
You can tell. But it was a serious thing. It was when Edelman tore his no, it was Welker. When Welker tore his ACL, MCL, remember at the end of that one season? And he's just trying to talk to him about it. And Belichick's like, I don't know. Looks like an ACL. Like, I don't know. Waiting for the doctor. So, you know, like he's just mumbling
he's
in his
yeah.
Belichick way. And it's just kind of funny because you're talking about just kind of stay out of his way. I think that's why they've been successful. It's got to be a little bit awkward for Kraft at times being like, hey, man, I own the team. Like, I have access to all the information.
I don't think Belichick feels doesn't like he answers anybody.
No, yeah, I don't think he does.
Which, tell you the truth, he doesn't have to. He's God.
Yeah, at this point.
Except Goodell.
GMs doesn't matter. Right. Yeah. At this point, GM doesn't really matter to him, right? He's making the personnel decisions and they're doing what they need to do. But I always remember that one clip. It's just funny how the dynamic changes when it's in his office behind his desk. It doesn't matter that you own the team that he works for. So that's it on Grigson. We'll see what happens. It looks like there's some candidates there, including Jimmy Ray III, who is the current VP of football operations for the Colts. They have a list, according to Irsay. And that is what it is. So, again, we'll continue to talk about the Romo stuff. I think that is something that's going to be really relevant in fantasy football simply because there's going to be a vacuum at one of these teams where somebody turns the page. Tony Cicada, guy hosts, those of you that listen to this network know him very well. He hosts a variety of shows, including he is on Roto Experts in the Morning during the week, Monday to Friday, which is 7
when isn't
to 10.
Tony on?
Yeah, true. He does DFS lineup lock. He does First look, morning DFS looks, whatever it's called.
If you don't know who Sincotta is, wow. You're certainly
yeah, if you're listening
attention.
To this network and you don't know who Tony is, then that's I encourage you to continue to listen. He'll be on in the next 5 minutes. So, but he has always been of the opinion that Cutler is going to still be the quarterback in Chicago.
Yeah, we talked to him last week about this. I don't see that at all. I think Scott Engel is the same way as well. I don't see that at all.
I actually can't see it. Because somebody's going to be left holding the bag, and what are you going to do? Are you going to, like, you're not going to switch Jay Cutler out for Mike Glennon, are you?
Well, I think they would in a heartbeat.
You think they would?
If they're acquiring Glennon, he's starting.
No, I'm saying, but you got to make that decision. I'm not saying that they're both on the team. I'm saying,
I think it comes down,
we're moving on from Jay, and we're getting Mike Glennon.
What's the price? I think they know they can't win with Jay. You're not winning with Jay. So what's the point?
They can't win with this team.
I would agree with you there, too.
It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. The defense is terrible. They have a running back now. The offensive line, you have to at least give them some credit, even though Jay Cutler got killed, and then Brian Hoyer got killed.
A lot of death there.
So they can run block, at least, and they were injured, too. So they have a running back. They have a wide receiver that's on the move. If you had to choose one, keep Cutler, keep Jeffrey. You're keeping Jeffrey?
Yes. Although I don't love him either.
Right. So,
but yeah, you have to keep the skill position player.
But imagine what Bears fans are going to do if this offseason, I can't remember when they pick, but we'll take a look at it here in a minute because I'm going to go over the draft in the next segment. But they're going to get a couple of picks, and they move on from Cutler, and they move on from Jeffrey, and the new QB is, I'll give him Romo, just for argument's sake. As a Bears fan, what are you thinking? Like, what did we do all this for? We just got rid of a number one wide receiver. We got rid of a younger quarterback. And now we got a bunch of young guys with a quarterback who's going to retire either after this season or after next season.
I don't think Romo makes sense for Chicago.
It doesn't.
Because what's the best case scenario for Romo? 2 years? Three?
No way.
That's your best case scenario.
Fine.
But that's 48 games. How many of those 48 games is he starting?
No, I mean, so 30, few. I wouldn't even give him half.
Two? I'm saying half.
I think he's done.
I don't think he's done. I think he can play. It comes down to so many factors here. I think Romo has to go to a team that's closer. That's why I think Houston and KC make so much sense. So does Denver. They make so much sense because you have a quarterback that you would be keeping. So
that'd
in case Romo gets hurt.
That would be cold-blooded by Andy Reid.
But isn't Reid the same situation? You're not going to win with Alex Smith. He is what he is. He's a certain area, but he's not going to get you over that hump. He's just not going to do it. Now, KC has some other problems. Running back as well. Spencer Ware is nowhere near what people were thinking he was.
That's true.
The defense is legit, although they're going to lose Barry or Poe. Mm-hmm. Or they could. I shouldn't say they are. They could lose Barry or Poe.
It seems increasingly unlikely that they can keep both.
Right. Derek Johnson, will he be the same next year after the injury?
I mean, 33 already.
He's up there, right. So, Casey, but that could also play into Romo's favor there because, once again, they may be feeling it. If we don't win now, 2 years, we're not the same team anymore. Then it doesn't matter.
Yep.
And I think that comes into play here, you know, with some of these teams. I think people forget that general managers are people. They have jobs to protect. You know, when it comes to these, he may be thinking, hey, if I don't win this year, I'm done anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that is sometimes underplayed, the desperation moves that are made to see if they can save it, you know what I mean, at the last minute, where they know it's kind of falling apart, but hey, let's just make a wild couple of moves here.
My job's
see what
over
sticks.
Anyway, what do I care if I have two, if I don't have a number one pick next year, if I don't have a second round pick, I won't be here. It's
like,
not my
if I keep it the way it is and we go 7-9, I'm done. If I make a wild mistake and I go 5-11 or 4-12, I'm done. But if I make this wild, throw it up at the wall kind of move and we go 9-7, maybe we sneak into a wild card and I'm here another 3 years.
Exactly.
So I think unfortunately they don't always make the soundest moves, and some of these quirky moves that you see I think are acts of desperation. Happens in a lot of jobs, I suppose, but
they gotta protect their jobs. Like I said, a lot of these guys, hey, if I don't win, I'm done anyway. What do I care if I lost picks or I lost this player or that player? Yeah. I need to win now. I'm not saying this is happening
either. You can't destroy your reputation, but I think you're right. I think guys make risky moves in order to do this.
Especially if they feel they're close. That's why Houston is the one really interesting team here, because I think they have everything in place. Everything's in place in Houston,
yeah,
except the quarterback.
They'll probably lose their corner, A.J. Bouye, but they're going to get J.J. Watt back. It makes up for a lot.
Watt, Clowney, Marcellus Wiley.
Jonathan Joseph's a year older. You would probably have to address defensive back in the draft. But, yeah, it's not an issue.
It's quarterback.
They have the best pass rush in the league. Come next year, they'll have the best pass rush, probably by a significant margin. With Watt coming back, Clowney, Merciless, like you can't get better than that.
You probably need a quarterback. I mean, to make the playoffs, you probably need a quarterback to average 20 points a game, and you're making the playoffs. You know,
what did they average this year?
I have no idea. I don't know.
I don't even know if they did that.
Yeah, but to guarantee you, if you put in Romo, he'd average 24. Now you're talking. You wouldn't be no longer considered. Are you one and done?
Yeah, they were 28th in the league in points scored this year. So
we all know what the problem is in Houston.
Yeah.
Will it get better next season? Sure. I think Osweiler would be better a second year. Yeah, but I also heard something strange about him that from scouts that he throws the ball where the cone's down. You know, where usually you're throwing the ball's up.
Osweiler?
Yeah, but he throws it down. So that's why his ball is hard to be accurate because his ball's always going down.
I'm going to ask you a trivia question after the break. We'll take a break right here. No. I got a good trivia question for George because I heard this one the other day. So it's Mike and George. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. So I teased a trivia question for George before the break. Which quarterback in NFL history that stands taller than 6 feet 6 inches tall has the most wins?
6 feet 6 inches, most wins.
Taller than that.
There's a guy that's coming to mind that his name's not coming to me, though. I think. I don't know who.
It is Brock Osweiler.
Oh, that wasn't the guy.
Brock Osweiler. You were talking about scouts and how they talk about the cone pointing down. There is, unfortunately, for those guys that are extremely tall, as he is, he stands at 6 foot seven, 240 is what they have him listed here. His career record is 13-8. So he's got 13 career wins. He had 5 last year with Denver, 8 this year. I guess the playoff win, you give him another one. So in any event, it creates, and what I was listening to earlier this week was a couple of former coaches, I think Herm Edwards was part of it, how it just creates a very long delivery, a very long windup with guys that are that tall. Now, should it be markedly different from somebody like Roethlisberger and Cam? Cam's 6'5", 6'6". Roethlisberger's in that same height range. Brady's 6'4", and so on and so forth. But we do see Osweiler has a really hard time getting rid of the ball. He has a lot of overthrows, which is what I've seen from him. I saw that from him in the playoff game. Now, I think he's, first of all, he threw 3 interceptions, so you can't defend what he did. But he did throw that touchdown pass to Will Fuller that he dropped.
Yes.
That should be a game at that point. Still late in the game. In any event, I just thought that was an interesting trivia question with Brock being the winningest quarterback of that height or taller. So distracting myself with that trivia question. But in any event, you were talking about you know what the desperation of teams going after quarterbacks, whether it's Romo or Glennon and the like. And, you know, I just found that to be an interesting conversation because
Garoppolo,
right. Garoppolo's price.
Someone will take a chance on Kaepernick.
They will. Tyrod Taylor.
Ah, man. What Buffalo's doing is weird. Why they're so down against him. I get it. He's not your prototypical quarterback. Doesn't look like, you know, a Tom Brady or whatever. But he gets the job done. He's not bad. Is he ever going to be the upper echelon?
See,
are we looking at it as more of a fantasy?
I'm on the wrong side
reality?
Of this Tyrod Taylor argument. I don't see a lot there. I see a really average QB.
Yes. But why are you dumping a really average one? For nothing. You don't know. What else do you have there? It'd be different
nothing.
if they had a Garoppolo in waiting. I get it.
Yeah.
Cardale Jones? Really?
I mean, the Cardale Jones thing, what am I going to say? The guy barely played at Ohio State. They draft him as a developmental piece. And
nothing wrong with that. Develop
right,
him.
Right.
He's not ready yet.
That's
so
right
now, you don't have a quarterback because Taylor's not coming back. That's a
I mean, he's as ready as Paxton Lynch or Christian Hackenberg are. Right.
Hackenberg is another
The cringe on George's face says it all. Right. These are guys that are still developmental. I don't know why the Jets would draft a guy in the second round that they, within a year being in the organization, say, yeah, he's not even close. I mean, that's a problem on a couple of different levels. Either you can't evaluate or you can't develop or both.
Yeah, right? Exactly. You're right.
That's too high to pick. For a guy, to draft a guy in the second round that you think can't play after a year in an NFL system, to even take a snap is very problematic in my eyes. I did not see this 12 months ago with the Jets having going to be a blow it up organization.
Well, we're here. They're going to get rid of Marshall. All right. Once you start doing that, you blow it up.
Yeah.
All right. And I don't think it's the wrong thing.
See, Decker is going to be on the block potentially.
You don't have a quarterback. Fitzpatrick is certainly not the answer. Geno Smith's not the answer.
They're the only team that carried four all year, and they didn't have one.
Yeah, that was strange. They already said Hackenberg's not the answer. Petty's not the answer. What's the answer? You got to go out and sign somebody, or are you going to draft somebody early? Again. Right, so the Jets, right. Jets are a mess, too. And once again, the Jets would be a place for Romo, but once they said they were going to release Marshall, that pretty much takes them out of the Romo. Because if you're going to release your veterans, there's no reason to go for a veteran quarterback, because you're not going for it then.
That's right. So, excuse me. And talking about the draft a little bit, the only guys that we're seeing out there in the first round right now are Mitch Trubisky, who they currently in Mel Kiper's mock draft, he has going to the Niners at number 2, and then he has Deshaun Watson going to the Bills at 10. So that would solve the Bills' problem. Now, podcast I was listening to
Someone wants Watson, they'll trade up for him.
People aren't even grade Watson in the first round.
Doesn't matter. We've seen this every year, though. Even though they don't get graded well,
I think that's a reach, though, at 10. I think that would be the reach.
Up for him,
you think somebody draft over that?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, man, this Who's is a right loaded defensive draft.
Who's right behind Buffalo?
Cleveland is 2 picks behind them.
There you go.
So, interesting.
If they're not going
to
take,
I think RG3 comes back to start there, and they pick somebody developmentally in later rounds. They have the 33rd pick, so you don't have to go crazy in reaching at 12. In this mock draft, they have Dalvin Cook there. That would be actually a great pick, a dynamic running back. You obviously have a lot of other issues there, so I don't think they would have to necessarily do a crazy reach for a Deshaun Watson or anybody like that. I think you could just wait. One other little piece of NFL news that it only deserves about a minute, but it's to our point with yesterday. We were talking about how banged up the Packers are. They recalled wide receiver Max McCaffrey up from the practice squad to add another body to the wide receiving core. So do you read into that? They could sit any number of players, but do you read into that one of these wide receivers can't go? Or do you think they'll keep them all active?
Well, they put somebody on IR, and it wasn't a wide receiver. So it was an offensive guard or something like that.
Oh, center JC, JC Treader is on IR.
So you read like that. Listen, I think they're covering their bases here. Nelson's going to play. He's ordered a military-grade Kevlar vest. I'll tell you all you need to know about his ribs. They're nowhere near close to healthy. He'll shoot them up.
That's legal?
I guess it is.
You wear Kevlar?
Yeah, we've heard this before. Quarterbacks have worn it.
I guess so. That's like the light Kevlar vest.
Yeah. Like I said, he'll wear it fine. Maybe he can play somewhat. I don't think he can play every down. I don't think he can play 65 plays. Maybe he can play passing plays. I don't know. But I think he'll get out there and give it a shot.
He is the son, by the way, of former Pro Bowl receiver Ed McCaffrey and the older brother of Christian McCaffrey, a projected first-round pick in this draft.
Look at that. So I think they're covering themselves here in case Nelson can only go 10 plays, in case Devontae Adams can't go, the ankle.
Over under 15 plays. Over under 20 plays, Jordy Nelson. That's a better over-under.
Yeah, 15 I would have said over.
Yeah.
I don't know why the extra 5 plays is bothering me. I'm going to go over only because, hey, it's the championship game. You got nothing else to do here. I would go under 30, though, so I guess it's between 20 and 30 for me.
I think I'm going to take under. I think he's really hurt.
Oh, he's definitely hurt.
If
this is regular season, he's not playing. I'm not sure Devontae Adams is playing this week if it's regular season.
I think you're right. So we got two guys that are banged up. That's why we're leaning towards Cobb, right? And by the way, after the break, top of the hour, we're going to go through our options for these games today and who we like best in fantasy. So hang tight on that.
It's not that hard. Everybody in Atlanta, Green Bay. No reason to talk there.
We got
to
make some decisions,
start them.
Right? We got to make some decisions. How are you doing in your contest, by the way? Are you in the mix?
I don't even know.
Yeah.
I don't check these things.
I know. You really don't.
I'm different from...
Somebody's got to tell you that you're winning. Like, I have to tell you how well you're doing.
Because there's nothing I can do about it. Once the lineups are set. You know, I don't... When the Cowboys lost last week, I think Scott thought I was going to be all upset and crying. They lost. I don't play for the Cowboys, all right? I'm not part of the organization. Yeah, they lost. It's annoying, but I got to move on. You know, I got to go on to the next thing. So I just don't let myself be bothered by these things that I can't control.
I'm in fifth place in one and seventh place in the other. The fifth place one, there's money going. The other one is just pure pride. The two and done IDP is pure pride. Had a good week last week, but certainly used up some options there. You know, Lev Bell, I can't use anymore. I can't use Aaron Rodgers. There's some other guys I'm going to have to do different stuff with. I actually went with Roethlisberger last week. That was kind of a dud, but I had to do it to save the QB on the other side. So that's the first hour down. The next hour, we're going to talk about the players to use in our contests. We're going to talk about Rogue One. I promise we're going to talk about the draft. George, you're not the biggest college football fan, right? But it's okay.
I don't watch college football at all, but by draft time, I'll know more than most.
That's right.
That's the way I'll study up in April. Because what we have to do, it's part of our job. It'll be important. Right now, during the season, it's not that important to me. I decided a long time ago, if I do college and pro, married.
You can't follow both. I did this when I first broke into this industry. I was trying to do both, and I just realized that it was a losing proposition. You can either do college or pro. 128 college teams, 32 pro teams. A little easier on the pro side, even though there's more to cover. So that's it. 1 hour down. We got 2 hours to go. Thanks for joining us this morning. Your Sunday sultry tones of Mike and George on a Sunday morning. A little music to play you out. A little relaxing music to play out. Slow jams. We'll be back in the next hour talking draft, talking all your fantasy options. We'll be back.